Hi, welcome to another edition of the PCRF podcast. My name is Dave Page, and I'm a paramedic instructor at Inver Hills Community College. I'm here with
Josh Salzman, director of the Critical Care Research Center at Regents Hospital.
Dr. Aaron Burnett, assistant medical director, Regents Hospital EMS.
Dr. Keith Wesley, medical director for Health East Medical Transportation in St. Paul, Minnesota.
And Marshall Washek, paramedic peer review research coordinator for Health East in St. Paul.
Dr. Burnett, will you introduce us to this study that we're going to review on tasers?
I will. This is the most recent in a large host of taser-related articles that are published in the medical peer-reviewed literature. This article appeared in the journal Circulation, which is a journal of the American Heart Association, and even though it was just recently published, it's already receiving a huge amount of press. So in this study, it's basically a case report of a number of patients who had cardiac arrests after being tased. The author titled the study, Sudden Cardiac Arrest and Death Associated with Application of Shocks from a Taser Electronic Control Device. Now, in this paper, there's a series of 8 patients who suffered a cardiac arrest after being exposed to a taser. The author goes through and describes some of the circumstances surrounding these cardiac arrests and makes a table which outlines the age, the weight, the duration, and number of shocks which these subjects were exposed to, as well as the initial recorded rhythm on the electrocardiogram that was obtained, and then autopsy findings, which I think is an important component. Interestingly, the comments in terms of what was found on autopsy are limited to what was found on the heart and not in terms of the overall autopsy, and I think that's a topic which we'll discuss when we get to the relevance of this paper. The basic findings and the conclusion of this author was that conducted electronic weapons such as the taser can lead to cardiac arrest, and they cite these cases as evidence of that.
Don't everyone speak at once.
Nobody has really any strong feelings about
this
study.
Will be pretty boring.
So it's going to be really, really, really okay. So just go ahead and use tasers. Don't worry about it because these medical directors are just going to say, no, forget it. This study doesn't work. Well,
no one disputes that there are deaths that occur in instances where individuals may or may not have a taser applied to them. We also know that there's deaths when taser's not applied. We know that there is a condition known as excited delirium. And
positional asphyxia and restraint
to bring forth 8 cases and make a causal link without direct evaluation of the patient's cardiac rhythm at the time of the taser application and say that it causes capture, because the majority of this article talks about electrical capture of the heart causing ventricular tachycardia or ventricular fibrillation due to ACD application. Now, yes, there are some pig studies and some dog studies that have shown that that can occur, but usually in very limited circumstances where the taser darts are implanted into the chest, actually quite deeply into the chest, in a circumferential pattern around the heart, which is not the vast majority of taser applications out there. Most people get a dart, maybe one in the chest and one in the leg or 2 extremities. It's very rare to get a point blank shot with the darts and 2 darts right around the heart. And in this study, the where the darts were in these subjects wasn't even described. So again, trying to make this causal link when the majority of this article is talking about electrical capture of the heart by tasers, and yet a very minimalistic description. The full autopsy results are not included, and in fact, in the table presented, there's a difference. It's clear that all 8 of these cases were medical legal cases, that there was some dispute over the subject's condition. The author describes them as being, quote, previously healthy, when yet 6 of the 8 have documented autopsy findings of hearts that are grossly abnormal. 410 grams, 400 grams, 470 grams, 380 grams. These are huge hearts. These are not healthy hearts. These are not healthy people. And the majority of them were intoxicated and had other drugs on board. So for the author to say that, you know, a case study of previously healthy individuals tased by, you know, received a taser, had electrical capture, went into VTAC and died. I just think just begs all credibility.
Well, let's go. I'm going to take this even farther because I can't hold myself back any longer. So you got a guy who admits that he serves as a paid plaintiff expert witness in electrical conductive device-related death. So let me emphasize paid expert witness. So now you publish an article in Circulation and you have your next person, your next trial attorney coming along saying, hey, I need an expert witness. Well, I just published in Circulation. That bumps my fee up this amount. So this person has an extreme amount of bias inherent in their presentation of this, and I would argue potential for secondary gain in publishing additional literature on this topic. The next thing is I would say this is a clear heart bias. So you have a heart journal, Circulation, published by the American Heart Association, and a physician who works in a cardiology institute. You have autopsy findings, which only look at the heart. It doesn't look at any other aspects of this patient's general medical condition and overall health. We have no report of whether or not this patient was experiencing evidence of excited delirium prior to tasing, things such as hallucinations, pain insensitivity,
acidosis from the wrist trace, from muscle. Yeah,
several of the patients were tased multiple times. Again, pain intolerance is something that's been identified with excited delirium, which is an accepted medical condition according to the American College of Emergency Physicians white paper report on the topic. And you have several subjects who were tased for what I would consider extremely long periods of time, so 37 seconds, 49 seconds. I mean, these are not the typical 5-second taser application that we're most familiar with in our part of the country. Finally, even if there is an association between cardiac arrest and taser application, I would argue that there's going to be association with death in any method that law enforcement uses to gain control and custody of an uncooperative patient, whether that's baton strikes, whether that's chemical agents, whether that's firearms, whether that's tasers. A certain percentage of all these patients are going to suffer death because they're resisting law enforcement officers who are working aggressively to take control and custody of these patients. The goal here is to determine which device has the lowest rate of death associated with its use, which is the least lethal method, not which is the non-lethal method, because I don't think one exists, but what is the less lethal method? I don't think this paper adds a lot of definitive evidence as to whether or not tasers are causing the death that we're seeing in these patients. There's certainly an association. Patients do die after having a taser applied, but what other contributing factors cause that patient to suffer that cardiac arrest? We're just not sure on it. I don't think this paper does anything more than document a number of cases where there's an association between taser use and death. I don't think there's any causality that's been determined.
And I think I would take that a step further that using the word association is probably incorrect in this scenario, because you only have 8 cases, all of which had an individual who died and all of which were tased. So you don't have the other side of the coin of the number of patients who are tased who didn't die. You don't have any perspective and really any strong methodology to stand on that these patients are even representative of the total population of people who get tased in general. So I think, like you've pointed out, Aaron, that it's the reader beware on this, that you can take it for whatever you, or you can make conclusions on your own personal bias or on the information that's written here, but I don't think there's any inkling, and I don't think anybody should think that there's any inkling of true scientific basis for saying that there is any association at all between taser and cardiac arrest.
And if you look at the time from initial taser application to the first ECG, which I think would be very useful, if we had ECGs on these patients within 30 seconds of them getting tased and that showed VFib, then that would be very suggestive to me that this taser is likely related to that incidence of VFib. Well, let me tell you the minutes between the ECG and the taser application. Several minutes. Interpret that for what you will. 10, 13, 10, 10, 30. 4.5, greater than 4.5, so greater than 4.5 to me could be 10, greater than 5, which to me could be 10, we don't know. The point being that if you wait 10 minutes after somebody has a respiratory arrest, as has been more clearly associated with excited delirium, that heart is going to probably be in V-fib at some point. So just having V-fib 10 minutes after a taser has been applied doesn't tell you, did this patient have V-fib caused by the taser? Did this patient have a respiratory arrest due to their excited delirium or positional asphyxia from the restraint position they were in? Because it doesn't really matter what starts your cardiac arrest. Most hearts at some point during that arrest are going to show V-fib. And if you're showing 10 minutes after being tased, you have V-fib, that doesn't tell you anything about what rhythms went on in that 10 minutes or if V-fib was the initial rhythm. This patient could have been in a PEA, a Brady asystolic respiratory arrest that then transitioned into V-fib.
But there are no strong feelings associated with this paper. Thank you.
Such a litigious topic, and we have someone who's regularly a paid consultant for plaintiffs in these cases who's publishing a paper which says tasers are bad. So that's not very surprising to me.
I think it's really also an interesting discussion that we had offline about Circulation's publication of this and the fact that it did go through some form of peer review and was accepted by that peer review person and then accepted by the editor. It seems odd that this narrow slice and slant of a single topic would make it all the way through that whole process and be published in a fairly highly respected journal. So I think it begs the audience to feel free to write many letters to the editor and ask about the process or at least question the scientific validity of a report like this and how it made it through that whole review process.
And on that note, thank you for tuning in to another PCRF podcast.